Today, we'd like to see the title of Do You Love Money? In Luke chapter 16, verses 14 to 31. To align with the people on the earth, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. What does it mean? Question two. In verses 19 and 20, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate. What is the rich man's inward heart? Last question three, in verse 31. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. What does it mean? And how should we live with the things entrusted by God? Last time Jesus taught Luke chapter 16, verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. If you love anything or anyone more than or equal to God, it would become an idol, violating the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, of 10 commandments. Now, the Pharisees who were lovers of money. Lovers of money is a root of all kinds of evil. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Also heard all these things, and they, or Pharisees, derided him. Pharisees leapt at Jesus after Jesus' teaching, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, then you cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 15, and he said to them, Jesus said to you, Pharisees, you are those who justify yourselves before men, those who make themselves just or righteous before people by considering money, treasure, mammon, or prosperity as one of God's blessings. Yes, if God gives it, but know if you get it by unrighteousness, such as Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Also, the 3 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the elder, the Apostle John, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Here is John the Apostle praying for Gaius. Gaius' spirit is mature because as your soul prospers. But Gaius is weak, is little in the material prosperity and health as well. That's why is John the Apostle praying for you prosper in all things, material prosperity and strong health in health as your soul prospers. But God hates the mammon or prosperity gained by dishonesty. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, and a just weight or righteous weight is his delight, God's delight. Jesus said, but God knows your heart, not outward thing, such as appearance, but inward heart will say, if the possession of money or the possession of material is righteous or unrighteous. So Jesus taught self-examination, Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, Luke chapter 12, verse 34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where treasure or money or prosperity is used is your heart. In that way, you can examine by yourself. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all these necessary material things, clothes, food, shall be added to you. Because what is highly esteemed among men, money or richness is highly considered among people, is an abomination in the sight of God. Because of their heart, to love money more than God. So Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites. Matthew chapter 23, verse 27, in another place. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Verse 16, the law and the prophets were until John. In the Old Testament time, the Mosaic law and the book of Isaiah and up to Malachi prophecy, that's indicating Old Testament time. In order to be righteous or in order to be just, you must keep the law until John the Baptist. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone is pressing into it. In the New Testament time, the kingdom controlled by God, called as the kingdom of God, not any others. The kingdom controlled by God alone, not any others, has been given freely. That's called as grace. And you should live by faith for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then verse 17, and it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away or to disappear than for one tittle of the law to fail. That means the Lord does not destroy even a little of the law, but fulfills it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophet Old Testament. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Also, Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, 25. Therefore, the law was our tutor, our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor or under the schoolmaster. Then, verse 18, now Jesus shows how to fulfill law in the Old Testament rather than to destroy. Jesus' example, Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1. That's one of the Mosaic law. When a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes, because he has found some uncleanness in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house. So, but Jesus interpret of that Mosaic law of the Old Testament, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced from her husband commits adultery. So Pharisee is a literal interpretation of uncleanness, like today, for almost any regions in the side of a man allows divorce easily. But marriage requires life commitment in the sight of God, except, number one, sexual immorality or one's spouse's death. Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. And I say to you, Jesus said, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. Whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. Also, inspired by the story to the disciple, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39, a wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives physically. But if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. Now, Jesus gave a real story, verse 19 up to 31, not a parable. Before Jesus' resurrection, there was a certain rich man. He is a type of Pharisees who love money, who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, lived in luxury every day. So his life for self-pleasure or for the self-kingdom, there is no room for kingdom of God. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores or full of scars, who was laid at his gate, at the gate of a rich man. So, beggar Lazarus with sores was abandoned at his gate by the rich man. If the rich man loved God with all his heart, vertical relationship, what he is, being, then he would give food, drink, or clothes to Lazarus, horizontal relationship, the product of being is doing. That's the righteousness of God. Mark chapter 12, verse 30-31. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. That's a vertical relationship, what you are being. Then the second. And the second like it is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this. Second one is doing as the product of the being, of the vertical relationship. Then he did not do God's righteousness, because in Matthew chapter 25, verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then, verse 40, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, in as much as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Because a rich man did not work, live for the kingdom of God at all, rather than the kingdom of self-kingdom, and not for God's righteousness at all, rather than self-pleasure. So here, the beggar Lazarus, verse 21, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, so hungry, but the rich man did not feed him anyhow. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Dogs were better than the rich man to take care of Lazarus. Then verse 22, so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The beggar's body might have been carried away into the valley of Hinnom, the cremation place, but his spirit went to Abraham's bosom by angels. So here, please note that physical death was not the end. The rich man also died and was buried in the grave. 23, now talking about the spirit, being in torment in Hades or hell, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. King James Version, hell, New King James Version translates into Hades. Hades, original Greek word, Hades, you know, that is Hades. In order to understand the Bible, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word of Sheol, translated into Sheol, or grave. In the New Testament, the Greek words of Hades, coming from Greek word Hades, translated into Hades, or hell, or abuso. Abuso is a Greek word that means a pit, but translated into English, bottomless pit, and Gehenna, translated into hell or fire hell. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am tormented in this flame. So that torment place is a fire torment place. The rich man was in the torment in this flame, in this fire. Verse 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. Before Jesus' resurrection, Hades or hell was divided into Abraham's bosom, which was the comfort place, and fire torment place. That is, all believers in the Old Testament time went to the Abraham's bosom, the comfort place. But in the New Testament time, the comfort place in the hell or in the haze disappeared, leaving the fire torment place alone at the time of Jesus' resurrection. Matthew chapter 27, verse 53. And coming out of the grave after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So also Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, made a prophecy, Jesus Christ, the second part, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Then Peter in the New Testament time, chapter 3, verse 19, by whom also Jesus went and preached to the spirits in prison. So Jesus proclaimed liberty to the believers who died in the Old Testament time in Abraham's bosom. Then also Acts chapter 2, verse 27, Peter's sermon after the Pentecost. For you will, Jesus, you will not leave my soul. The God will not leave Jesus' soul in Hades or in hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. That's why Jesus rose again from the grave. Also, Psalm chapter 16, verse 10, Messianic Psalm. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol. God will not leave Jesus' soul in Sheol. Sheol is a Hebrew word, grave. So New Testament sense, hell. Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Then, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, Old Testament believers, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced the promise to enter into the kingdom of God in heaven, them and house and them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Then 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, disciple Paul sent a letter to Corinthian Christians, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Also Jesus said, John chapter 14, verse 2 and 3, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So we can see that. So which meaning right now, before Jesus coming again in heaven, so we might die. So at the time over, we are absent from the physical body, our spirit immediately is present with the Lord in heaven, in the mansion of there. Is that. But during our life with Jesus coming again in heaven, that time is instantly our spirit is coming out of our body, made our body, new body, made by the heaven, you know, not, you know, the earthly, made of earthly thing. So that is a sense. Verse 26, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So it is divided, so that nobody is able to cross over the other side. According to Bible, our life one way, not like you know, circulation again. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed for man to die once, but after this death, the judgment is coming. Christian's judgment is basically to receive reward, such as a lot of crowns. So depending upon your work by the Spirit, spiritual work only will be counted to receive the God's award. Then, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then verse 27, then rich man said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send, the father is Abraham. Abraham is the father of Israel people, or the father of all believers, father, that you would send him, beg Lazarus, who rose again from the dead, to my father's house, because I have five brothers, that he may testify, Lazarus may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Verse 29, Abraham said to the rich man, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. They have the Old Testament, so therefore let them study them. So if they don't have a heart to know God more and more, so, you know, it is impossible. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 basically said, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So Bible is perfect. So all things already given. So the issue, whether or not your heart to receive it, to study it, you know, or not, you know. So nobody forces you to do. God loved the world so much. God already gave the Lord Jesus Christ to everybody. So now is your turn, in turn, whether or not you accept. You know, today Bible study, you know, it is open to everybody. So, you know, whoever come here, you know, by free will, you know, nobody force them. So that is a kind sense. Here, verse 29, Abraham said to the rich man, they have Moses and the prophet, let them hear them. And the rich man said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead as a messenger, Lazarus, who rose from death as a messenger, they will repent. If you send Lazarus, who rose from the dead, as a messenger, his five brothers would repent. But verse 31, but Abraham said to the rich man, if they do not hear Moses and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded through one rise from the dead. They with their free will or a willing heart do not study the Old Testament, they would not repent by the preaching of even one rise from the dead. For example, Pharisees and the high priest not believing in Jesus rather than plotting to kill Jesus, after the events of Lazarus, the brother of Mary, Martha, who rose from the dead. Then John chapter 11, verse 45. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did, which means the region Lazarus, you know, he was dead for 3 days, but he rose again from the grave by Jesus' word, believed in Jesus. But 53, then from that day on, is the Pharisees, the high priest, Caiaphas, plotted to put Jesus to kill, to death. So that's an example. Unless their heart is not, is transformed, is radically changed, so they could not, you know, hear, they could not, you know, repent, matter of heart. So let's see each question answer. In verse 16, the law, the prophet were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone is pressing into it. What does it mean? So in the Old Testament time until John the Baptist, there, Old Testament time, Old Covenant, to keep the law. If you keep the law, you would be righteous. If you not keep the law, you are unrighteousness. Since that time, Old time, the kingdom of God has been preached. In the New Testament time, the kingdom of God is given freely. So the kingdom controlled by God, given freely. Everyone is pressing into it. It is the kingdom of God. So everyone is liberated by being led by God, being controlled by God. So that is a question two. In verse 19-20, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of souls, who was laid at this gate. What is the rich man's inward heart? Rich man inward heart, he didn't love God with all heart. So therefore, he's rather than love himself. So he lived all day in luxury. So he abandoned the needy beggar. So he God's righteousness was at all. So question three, in verse 31, but he said to him, Abraham said to you, rich man, if they do not hear Moses and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded through one rise from the dead. What does it mean? So if they by themselves with a cheerful heart and free will study Old Testament, so he would not listen to even Lazarus, who rose again from the dead, as a persuasion. So therefore, he would not repent his unbelief, their unbelief. So how should we live with the things entrusted by God? So we believe in everything, including our body, everything material is given by God. We are stewards. So we should have a vertical relationship, being what you are rather than what you do. Being first always by faith. We should live by faith. Then is a supernatural, spiritual product of a being is agape love coming out to the neighbor, so to needy people. Also, we should note that even if we expression over our agape love to neighbors, but it's not even close to the level of Jesus Christ, which meaning always fall much shorter than the level of Jesus Christ. But that's a point. This one is we brought in cookie as a token of Jesus Christ, but that is still not much close to the level of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ gave up his God status, he's gave up his life, you know, so even to us. So that, you know, we should remember that. Okay, let's just sing song all together, page 40, number 5, type 1 song.